Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. And coming up here on our program today, we are going to have the March episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association coming up in segment two. We're going to talk about the newly launched Radical Challenge with Alex Buck, Director of Industrial Innovation at Iowa Corn, and Chad Epler, the Market Development Action Team Vice Chair with NCGA and a Kansas producer. So we'll talk to Chad and Alex coming up here in segment two today. In segment three, we're going to get an update on where the appropriations process stands on Capitol Hill and more. We'll talk with Rachel Snyderman from the Bipartisan Policy Center. And at the end of the show, we're going to talk with Charlie Carter from Cenex and CHS. So looking forward to that conversation as well, looking on the fuel and lubricant side as we get ready for spring and more. So looking forward to talking with Charlie coming up here at the end of the program today, which is brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Right now, though, we want to get an update on the devastating wildfires that are impacting the Texas Panhandle and parts of the southwestern plains. Really just a devastating sight to see and hear about. We want to get an update on things. Joining us now for a conversation, he is the president of the Texas Farm Bureau. Russell Boehning is with us. Russell, great to have you join us here on the show. And our thoughts and prayers are with everyone down there in the Texas Panhandle dealing with these wildfires. Just devastating scenes to look at, Russell.
Well, yes, sir. Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to share some info. We really appreciate it. It is. But like you said, it's been a devastating situation.
Well, get us up to speed on how things are right now. What are you hearing from folks? What are you seeing? I know that this wildfire has covered over a million acres across the Panhandle and other parts of the southwestern plains. Are we starting to get the fires under control? What's some of the latest details you could share with us, Russell?
Well, that's we are. I guess that's correct. We're starting to get them under control. The last I heard, the big fire, the Smokehouse Creek fire, was like 35% to 40% controlled. It's just been tough. I mean, it's big country, it's big ranches, so it's just a lot of ranch country. So you don't have much. What I call cultivated farmland to break it up. Once it gets rolling, it's rolling. So, and it's so preliminary as far as really nailing down losses. I mean, we know there's literally hundreds and hundreds of miles of fence that's lost, and power lines. We have hundreds of miles of power lines down, and cattle lost. Still assessing that, to be quite honest with you. It's a tough situation.
Well, and thinking about this as well, I've been reading a lot of stories and hearing at least how a lot of ranchers, a lot of folks have been banding together to do their best to try and fight some of these fires. I mean, just some amazing stories across the board have come out of this this tough situation. Have you heard some of the same folks trying to band together to try and save what they can across the Panhandle?
Oh yes, agriculture is resilient, and people do work together. And of course, our first responders, our volunteer firefighters have been front and center. But then they've had help from everyone else. I mean, and I know we've heard of stories where you quite frankly you have to prioritize some things, and you're going to save your house and your structures if you can, and so you just can't be everywhere. But people have been working together and doing what they can to fight their fires, help their neighbors, and those type of things.
Well, I know the Texas Farm Bureau is doing what you can to help out as well. And you guys have established the Texas Panhandle Wildlife Relief Fund. Folks can find more details about that at texasfarmbureau.org. And Russell, I mean, talk about this a little bit. You know, folks, if they can donate here to help out with this fund, obviously going to go to help a lot of farmers and ranchers who are going to be in need here in the weeks and months ahead, right?
Yes, sir. I appreciate you mentioning that. We have a foundation that we've had set up for years. We've used it before. We've used it for wildfire relief before. We've used it for Hurricane Harvey relief when Southeast Texas got hit really, really hard with the flooding. And what we do here is we take donations for, you know, whatever time period, 60, 90 days. Corporations can donate, company, you know, individuals. And we take every bit of that money. There is no administrative fee. We put a committee together of folks that understand the losses and just try to help some people out. And where it goes to is, I mean, what we normally would call uninsurable ag losses. So people will fill out an application. You lost this much fence. You know, most people don't insure their fence. Most people don't insure their livestock. So those type of things are what we're going to help out with. And, you know, it's not going to make people whole, but it's appreciated. And I know everybody that gets a little help along the way appreciated. But you're right. Just go to our website and there'll be a link there to donate.
Well, again, texasfarmbureau.org is where you can find more details on the Panhandle Wildlife Relief Fund. Russell, before we let you go, for folks listening in around the country, put this into perspective for them, again, if you can, real quick, just how tough this entire wildfire situation is across the state, across the Panhandle. What do you really want folks to know about the situation there in Texas right now?
Well, you know, when you started off the segment, you mentioned over a million acres, but let's break that down now. You know, there's ranchers up there that whatever size their ranch might be, it doesn't make any difference. Like, you know, let's just use a 5,000 acre ranch. There's smaller ones, there are bigger ones, but there's ranchers up there that have lost every bit of grass on that ranch, and they probably lost some structures too. And hopefully they were able to save their house and those type of things. So, you know, you wake up one morning and your livelihood for this year, you know, it can rain next week. And we got a saying in Texas, you know, rain is always welcome, but it doesn't rain grass. It takes a while for it to grow. And it's devastating when you break it down to an individual basis. And then some of those folks lost their cattle as well. You know, it's a super, super loss. And I mean, in agriculture, we've seen everybody has, you know, gone through losses, whether it's, you know, drought or floods or, but this one here, it hits you hard. It hits you hard right away.
Well, again, our thoughts and prayers are with everyone affected in the Texas, in the Southwestern Plains. TexasFarmBureau.org for more information on the Panhandle Wildlife Relief Fund. Russell Boehning, Texas Farm Bureau President, thanks for joining us on AOA today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, the March episode of the Monthly Grind on the way right after this.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stepacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use. You've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute. Your community members, friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, faith leaders, and other important adults in your kids' lives can be your eyes, ears, and a supportive influence when you're not around, reinforcing your messages with your kids and alerting you to warning signs of underage drinking or other substance use. So talk with your kids about these issues and involve the members of your community to help keep your kids safe, because when you talk, they hear you. For more information, visit talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit cenex.com for more information. Well, right now it is time for the March episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. We're talking about the newly launched Radical Challenge, and joining us here for this month's program, first up, we have Chad Epler. He is the NCGA Market Development Action Team Vice Chair and a Kansas producer. Chad, great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us this month.
Great to be back on, Jesse. Appreciate the opportunity.
And also joining Chad on the show here today, he is the Director of Industrial Innovation at Iowa Corn. Dr. Alex Buck is with us. Alex, thank you for joining us here on the Monthly Grind this month. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here as well.
Well, let's talk about the Radical Challenge. And just to start, Alex, what is the Radical Challenge? Set us up and tell us more.
Well, the Radical Challenge is an open innovation challenge. We're calling it the Radical Corn Value Chain Challenge. It sets out to invest a minimum of $1.5 million checkoff dollars into startup and growth companies from around the world so that we can drive new uses for corn and develop long-term sustainable demand for corn production.
Well, and thinking about driving new uses for corn, and Chad, I know we've talked about this before, there's a lot of opportunity out there for new corn uses, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is. We deal with what we have here domestically. Corn is grown in about 100 million acres. And so 48% of the corn production is used for animal feed, 30% biofuels, 22% exports. But we still have this mass surplus that we need to find a use for. And that's where our Consider Corn Challenge and now the Radical Challenge comes into play. We are looking for people that have these ideas and want to put it to use and use these bushels of corn.
Well, Alex, talk about how this all kind of came together as well, and thinking about some of these new uses. I know this was publicly launched last week during Commodity Classic. Talk about some of the partners with Iowa Corn and the National Corn Growers Association on the Radical Challenge project for us.
It's always been a priority for the states and national corn to drive new uses. And the really the biggest hurdles to get companies and projects into the final commercialization stage where the producers can start seeing that increased demand. You know, things like biochemicals or bioplastics, those are the types of and sustainable aviation fuel. But the partners we have so far, of course, the National Corn Growers Association, the Kansas Corn Commission, the Iowa Corn Promotion Board, the Colorado Corn Council, South Dakota Corn, Illinois Corn, Kentucky Corn. And, you know, we're hoping as more states see the value of this, they'll also join us and we'll get even more producers to really drive this challenge, which is sponsored by U.S. corn farmers.
Well, and Alex, too, you know, thinking from an Iowa corn perspective, obviously, I mean, Iowa is, you know, right in the heart of the Corn Belt, of course. I grew up in north central Iowa. So a lot of our farmers across, you know, that state and really across the country, you mentioned some of those new uses. Chad mentioned a few of them as well. But it's really important at this juncture to find as many of these different opportunities that are out there to diversify the portfolio, so to speak, of corn and what we can use corn for, right?
That's absolutely right. I'm a chemist, so I look at corn as a feedstock and try to decide how I can turn that on behalf of the corn farmers into new products. You know, petroleum already does this. They take their barrel of oil and they make fuels and they make chemicals and they make plastics. They make everything under the sun. And corn already does that as well. We have plastics, we have ethanol, we have feed. We have lots of different products, but we can always make more. And that's what's great about the chemical industry is it's not going to be as big as fuels, but they're a higher value and there's a huge diversity in the number of chemicals we can make from corn.
Well, Chad, your perspective here, you mentioned the Consider Corn Challenge earlier, of course, and kind of, you know, looking at that challenge along with the Radical Challenge, all this kind of coming together to kind of bridge some gaps here as we look at some of these new uses. Give us a little more perspective from the NCGA Market Development Action Team side on how these different challenges can kind of come together to find new uses for corn.
Absolutely. And when we put the Consider Corn Challenge together, it's kind of geared towards, you know, those that want have fresh ideas, startups, they're really early on in the commercialization process. Well, where the Radical Challenge is different from the Consider Corn Challenge, the Radical Challenge is based upon companies that maybe are a step ahead and they have a focus to the value chain and getting the idea off the shelf. I mean, as a corn farmer, with our checkoff dollars going to this, if we give it to somebody that just has the idea but not the ability to get it off the shelf, then that's hard for us to keep putting that money in there. So the Radical Challenge enables us to actually get that idea, get that moved off the shelf, and hopefully into some sort of commercialization sooner.
And that's all. That all kind of speaks to the heart, of course, of what the Market Development Action Team is doing at NCGA, right? Chad is working to bring some of these new ideas to the marketplace. I mean, that's really at the heart of your guys' mission there with MDAT, isn't it?
You hit the nail on the head right there. MDAT, our job is to find uses for all of these bushels of corn. And you know, the other day somebody asked me, hey, you know, I have a thought about maybe how to use corn with shooting clays. Has anybody ever thought of that? And not to my knowledge, but there's so many opportunities that are out there to use corn, and that's why we want to engage people that this is kind of their forte. And it's our job as MDAT to make sure that we follow all these avenues and find a way to get the corn moved.
Well, Alex, talk about the Radical Challenge a little bit more. What is ahead from your perspective? I know we're going to have some different investment decisions will be made here later this year, and a lot of this is going to be judged by industry experts and things like that. I mean, talk about what lies ahead from your perspective here for the Radical Challenge as we go throughout the year.
Yeah, the submissions for the Radical Corn Value Chain Challenge are open through mid-April. You can search Google. You can go to radical.vc to find out more information and make a submission for any companies that are out there that are interested. But the over the summer, there'll be a diligence period. The number of projects that come in will be whittled down to, you know, several where there's even more diligence done. But eventually, this will culminate in a pitch day where there'll be, you know, maybe four or six companies that have been named as finalists, and they will pitch to a group of experts that have been identified by the Corn Checkoffs and by the Radical team that works on this. And the ultimate input will be given, and then the decision will be made from the by the corn farmers and by the people that support that to what is the most investable company to drive corn demand.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, you're a chemist, Alex. I mean, just from your perspective, you know, I would venture to guess that, you know, all ideas are welcome here. And you know, someone may think that the idea is maybe, not to use a pun here, but too radical. It might not be. You guys want to hear from everyone who has good ideas, right?
That's right. Nothing is too radical. You know, we want to focus on things that are going to drive new uses. So that could be a new chemical, that could be a new fuel, but we're also interested in things that have long-term sustainable demand. And so entrepreneurs are really innovative. And so I'm sure there's some ideas out there that I've never considered or that anybody in the corn industry has ever considered. So those are the types of things that we want to hear, as well as anything that's going to drive new demand for corn.
Chad, final thoughts from you as we kind of wrap up this month's episode of the Monthly Grind. Just to, again, the Radical Challenge and combined with everything that MDAT is doing with NCGA, anything else you would want to add about what lies ahead?
Well, bottom line for market development, we need to find uses for corn, whether that is the relationships and the continued use that we have now for animal feed or ethanol, exporting the corn. But you know, there are uses out there that we don't know about yet, and that's why we have things set up like the Consider Corn Challenge and the Radical Challenge. And it's really cool to be able to partner with all these states and move this project forward.
Well, with that, Chad Epler, NCGA MDAT Vice Chair, and Dr. Alex Buck with Iowa Corn, thank you both for joining us on the March episode of the Monthly Grind. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right. Coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, we're going to get an update on policy in D.C. with Rachel Snyderman from the Bipartisan Policy Center here on AOA.
Wheat growers of the North, it's time to push performance with Westbred Wheat. With regionally proven varieties like WB9606 with good stress tolerance and WB9719 with outstanding yield potential and excellent standability. Trust Westbred Wheat to help you get the most out of every acre. Now's the time. Boldly grow. Seize the season with Westbred Wheat. Performance may vary. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
You're listening to AOA for the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting. Well, we have kind of mixed action developing here in both the grain and livestock trade as we start off Wednesday's session. Corn and soybeans have been fairly quiet around the unchanged mark, while the wheat trade has been under some more pressure. Chicago wheat setting new lows here once again as we saw the wheat complex follow new lows in French wheat as well overnight. Meantime, palm oil, May palm oil reaching new highs here as we worked through the overnight session. So that was something we'll be watching to see if it's supportive or not here to the soy complex. Not expecting many big changes heading into Friday's March WASDE report. It's typically not a big market mover. There might be some modest changes to the U.S. balance sheets, especially on the corn side. Primary focus, though, is going to be on USDA's revisions to South American corn and soy production. A host of private crop scouts and analysts have been pretty pessimistic on some of the production down there, more so than USDA. And there's another wide range of production estimates. We'll see where USDA falls on Friday's report. Also watching a lot of jobs data. We got traders that have been bracing for this morning's JOLTS report, tomorrow's weekly jobless claims, and Friday morning's government monthly jobs report. So that's giving us some trepidation on Wall Street. Crude oil prices have been nearly 2% higher this morning as they bounce back from Tuesday's losses as OPEC Plus cuts overshadow soft demand concerns. On the livestock side, starting quietly mixed to lower here in early action as the trade, a little bit of pessimism in the cattle complex that the upside may be limited here in the short term. Now, the demand for feeder calves and cattle continues to remain very strong, and buyers are chasing prices higher to obtain ownership right now. Hog futures have been struggling with spread trading between April and summer months. You're listening to AOA. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Jesse Allen back with you. Today's program brought to you by our friends at Cenex. When the temperature goes down, so can your equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel, built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Learn more, find your nearest Cenex location, and more online at Cenex.com. Well, as we continue to watch what is happening on Capitol Hill, trying to get the government funded, we are well into the current fiscal year with still no resolution. We've had a lot of continuing resolutions to keep the government funded, and we have another set of shutdown cliffs in front of us, with the first one being on Friday. So what exactly is going on Capitol Hill? What is the latest news on the appropriations fight and the mess, for lack of a better term, that we have on Capitol Hill right now? Joining us to give us the details and for a conversation today, she is the Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center. Rachel Snyderman is with us. Rachel, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Jesse. Always great to be back from, you know, one budget fiasco to the next.
That's a budget fiasco. I think that's a better way to say it than just mess. I like that. It's a little more colorful. Rachel, we continue to talk about this. I know a lot of folks across the country, a lot of folks in DC want to see a resolution here to get the government funded. And I know it sounds like we have 6 appropriations bills that are going to get voted on here this week and potentially could get us past this first shutdown cliff. It includes USDA, FDA, things like that. Give us an update on where things stand. Are we going to get these bills passed to avoid a shutdown here on Friday? What's the latest you're hearing?
Yeah, of course. So we saw last week lawmakers at the 11th hour come together to, again, as you noted, just kick that can down the road to buy them just a little bit more time so that they could get their ducks in a row to get this first tranche of spending bills, you know, what we call a mini bus, if you will, that would at least partially fund some of the federal government, with, you know, the remainder to be left to further negotiations. So what we're looking at is that on Sunday, in a bipartisan manner, lawmakers release kind of the text that would support funding, frankly, dozens of federal agencies, as you note, USDA, Veterans Affairs, Energy, Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development. I mean, this is, you know, critical support that our ranchers and our farmers need. I think when we're talking about USDA, for example, there was a lot of discussion about funding for the Women's Infant and Children's Program. That program is sees adequate support, and even more so than this was a big policy issue that lawmakers were debating, and actually led to needing some more time to discuss those deliberations. So what we're looking at right now is the House is due to take up this package of spending bills as early as today. Speaker Johnson is going to depend on Democrats to get this up across the finish line and over to the Senate, where, I think right now all eyes are that this will get through the Senate and we can get, again, part of the federal government funded. Of course, what's in the between that is we have a State of the Union tomorrow night. And then, of course, as we're staring down, if we can get this tranche of funding bills across the finish line, we're then looking at, the remainder of the discretionary budget that's on the table, about 70% of overall funding, and truly some of the most controversial policy decisions. We're talking about, negotiations that still have to happen on the Pentagon and health programs and education. So, great to celebrate, hopefully soon, part of the government being funded, but we know that there are still negotiations left to be had so that we can get halfway through the fiscal year, some end in sight for some funding for this year.
Well, and to your point, if we can get past this first minibus, we have the other one to get done by the 22nd. So we'll see if we can get there. But, again, halfway through this fiscal year, no resolution. I think about this, though, as well, Rachel. I think this speaks to the climate and the back and forth on Capitol Hill. This is the time we should be talking about fiscal year 25 appropriations, not fighting over 24 still. So, I think about that, if we can get things passed, get the government funded, lawmakers are going to have to go right to work on fiscal year 25 to make sure we don't run into the same problem later this year, right?
That's exactly right. I think it's important for listeners to recognize that Congress is so late on its budget homework. They should have had these negotiations and these decisions made, passed into law prior to October 1st of last year. Here we are nearly almost six months past that. And we're still having these, now we finally see some resolution in sight, but we're still having the discussion halfway through the fiscal year. That's not how we run our own, small business or household budgets. But exactly that, we need to be now having the conversation on next year's budget. We see, for example, that the House Budget Committee is ready to start having these conversations with as early as tomorrow. But we know that President Biden will release his fiscal year 2025 budget request next Monday. So certainly the gears are in motion to have those fiscal year 2025 conversations. We can do that in tandem with 2024, but we need to make sure that we get the government fully funded this year, and that it behooves us to really start those conversations about fiscal year 2025, as soon as possible. And it looks like even as soon as tomorrow, which would I think an important point to note, that would be the earliest in 16 years that we would have started fiscal year 2025 discussions. So let's use that to our advantage.
No, I couldn't agree more. We're talking with Rachel Snyderman, Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center in Washington, D.C. And Rachel, I think about this too. If we can get appropriations done for 24, we need to start work on 25. There's a lot of other legislation, though, that's got to get through and done. And with a presidential calendar now creeping up on us, things like a farm bill and other legislation, there's some concern that that may or may not get done this year. And I'll throw on top of that the overall economic environment that we still have. I know we got a lot of jobs data out this week. We're continuing to worry about interest rates and that whole environment and the policy of the Fed and things like that. And I know that could play into a lot of these conversations about appropriations and more, and some of this different legislation that needs to get done, so that overall interest rate economic policy environment right now by the administration is a big piece to what is happening on Capitol Hill as well, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. And, you know, we're seeing, like, for example, we saw the latest inflation numbers, you know, housing really driving the majority of the inflation that folks are feeling right now. I mean, these are salient issues that we all feel in our daily lives. And, you know, can't underscore the point that you make enough, is that we're in an election year and we're in a contentious election year. So we're going to see, you know, we're going to see what comes out of the State of the Union. We're going to see the Republicans' response. We're going to see, former President Trump likely have a response to that. This is going to dictate a lot of the policy discussions and legislative agenda over the next year. As you note, there is must pass legislation that Congress has to come together on. You know, we've seen them do that at the 11th hour, as they do best. So I'm confident that we can get, you know, some of this must-pass legislation across the finish line. What I think is really important, what we're going to start to see crystallize in a lot of the conversations, especially in the elections, is that not only is there, you know, must-pass work that has to be done this year, but 2025 is really stacking up to be a very significant year when it comes to issues of economic and fiscal policy. We're going to see, for example, the expiration of the Trump tax cuts that were implemented in 2017. This is going to be a focal point of the negotiations and the campaigns over the coming months. You know, how lawmakers are going to come to grasp with the majority of the individual tax code being up for debate next year. Of course, we're going to see another debt limit debate. I know that I was on, you know, last summer talking with you when lawmakers were at odds about how to raise the debt limit. I mean, that's coming, staring at us down, come next January. So whoever wins the election and the rhetoric that we're going to see play out over the next few months is going to, I think, have a very large impact on the legislative calendar. I mean, we saw that with the immigration bill failure, et cetera. So, it's going to be all over the newspapers and the radio waves, I know, and certainly keep us quite busy here in the nation's capital.
Well, and I think a lot of that, you know, thinking about the debt limit and more, and just broadly, looking at U.S. economic competitiveness, so to speak, I mean, that's at the heart of this as well. And I think that overall, there's going to be a lot of tough conversations over the next 12 to 24 months, isn't there, Rachel?
Certainly. And I think that, you know, what we're showcasing when we have these continual kicking the can down the road exercises, and the fact that we just can't get our routine budget process in order, I mean, that hinders our global competitiveness and how other countries view us as a global leader and the world's strongest economy. So I think it's time for us, especially right now, to be thinking about, you know, how can we make incremental necessary reforms to some of these, you know, longstanding plumbing issues that indirectly do impact, you know, our competitiveness and how other countries, you know, view our relative strength. But could not agree more. I think that, you know, competitiveness is going to be, again, a focal point of the conversation, not only in Congress, but of course in the presidential election as it shapes up over the coming weeks.
Well, folks can learn more online at bipartisanpolicy.org. With that, the Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center, Rachel Snyderman. Rachel, it's always great to talk with you and have a conversation. Look forward to having you back on the show again soon. Thanks for joining us on AOA.
Likewise. Thanks so much, Jesse.
All right. Rachel Snyderman there with the Bipartisan Policy Center here on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex, not all grease created equal. Learn more about Cenex premium greases at Cenex.com. Up next, we'll talk with Charlie Carter from Cenex and CHS here on AOA.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. The V Foundation has the skill, the speed, and the strength to achieve victory over cancer. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge. But with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, joining us right now here on AOA, farmers are busy enough throughout the year, so the last thing they need is for water to infiltrate their diesel fuel. And if you ever experience pollution, well, don't fret. There are ways to remove water from diesel fuel tanks and methods to prevent water contamination from happening again. Joining us here today to talk about that, Charlie Carter, Product Quality and Additives Manager at CHS. And Charlie, thanks for joining us on the program today. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Well, Charlie, I know you're going to be talking with us about spotting some of these water contamination issues and how you can prevent this problem from happening on your operation. So let's just start. What are some examples of issues caused by water contamination?
Yeah, I mean, water is one of diesel fuel's biggest enemies here. And one of the issues that we see when you do have water in your diesel fuel is microbial growth. So microbes by nature live in water, and they're actually going to feed off of that diesel fuel, which can lead to fuel degradation and breakdown over time. And then once those microbes die, they're going to sink to the bottom of that fuel tank. And as you guys all know, that drop tube in your fuel tank really goes down almost to the bottom of your tank. And so you're going to be sucking up a lot of these microbes. That's going to cause filter plugging, injector fouling, and can also impact engine performance overall. Another key concern when it comes to water contamination can be corrosion and rust within your tank and fuel system. Corrosion can't really be detected right away, but it's something that is going to develop over time. If it becomes extreme, it can affect how the fuel is distributed in your system. It can ruin fueling lines and systems and also lead to more advanced fuel filter plugging.
Well, how can farmers spot water contamination, Charlie? You mentioned some great examples there. What are some ways that we can pay attention and try to spot some of this water contamination before it's too late?
Yeah, obviously, we're not always visually seeing what's in our fuel tank just by nature. And so if you don't have the ability to take a sample, here's some of the things that you can kind of look for with your equipment. So really a loss of RPMs or power in your equipment. If you have some rough starting issues or maybe erratic idling when you're sitting there, trouble or a lag in acceleration when you stomp on that pedal, and then really kind of keeping an eye on your exhaust to make sure there's not white smoke emitting from your exhaust system. If you notice one or more of these signs, start by working with your fuel supplier and taking a bottom sample from your fuel tank. And you should be able to visually see if you have water. There are also some water testing pastes you could use to identify water. But if water is present by nature, it's going to separate down to the bottom of that tank. And, if your sample does show that there's water in the fuel, work with that trusted fuel provider to help you eliminate that water by either pumping it out and then making sure all of that water is removed.
Well, Charlie, obviously we want to try to prevent water contamination in the first place. So what are some things that farmers could do to prevent future water contamination?
Yeah, good question. And by nature, diesel fuel is going to have some water in it just based on the refining process. And then as your tank sits there, the condensation from that hot and cold cycle can cause water. So by using a high quality premium diesel fuel, such as Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, that fuel is enhanced with a precise blend of terminally injected additives that are going to deliver numerous comprehensive benefits. But most important to this conversation are two-phase total water management system. So really, these two phases, one, the system protects your filters and injectors and safeguards your combustion system in the engine. So really, in that first phase, the majority of that free water is going to be separated from the fuel, which allows the gravity to push that water or pull that water down to the bottom of the tank for easy drainage. And then any negligible water that remains will be treated by that advanced aggressive detergency package in that Cenex Premium Diesel, which is going to encapsulate those water molecules, carrying them safely through that combustion chamber in your engine.
Well, Charlie, great thoughts. Where can people go to learn more when it comes to preventing water contamination in our diesel fuel or learn more about all the great products from Cenex and CHS?
Yeah, so your local Senex dealer is going to be your first source and your partner to help you find the best products for your farm. And not only if you have issues, help you address some of those water-related issues. Also, if you visit Senex.com, you can learn more about the best Senex premium diesel fuels that are out there to keep your operation running smoothly when you need it the most.
Well, with that, Charlie Carter, Product Quality Additives Manager at CHS, thanks for joining us here on AOA Agriculture of America and telling us more about preventing water contamination in our diesel fuel. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
And once again, Charlie Carter there with CHS and Senex joining us here on today's AOA. Good to have a conversation with Charlie. One news note, what a share. USDA has released the Packers and Stockyards Act final rule on competition. On Tuesday, the Department of Ag announced the finalization of that rule. It will be effective 60 days following publication in the Federal Register. The final rule, inclusive competition and market integrity under the Packers and Stockyards Act, establishes clearer, more effective standards for prohibited practices relating to discrimination, retaliation, and deception in contracting. USDA says this will help producers and growers that have suffered from increasingly consolidated markets over the last 30 years by enhancing market integrity and ensuring fair access to economic opportunities. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue responding to the news saying, quote, "Today's announcement is the culmination of years of work from NFU and supporters of equitable livestock markets," end quote. NCBA Vice President of Government Affairs Ethan Lane says, quote, "While we still have concerns about the unintended consequences of the rule, we are pleased that USDA has addressed most of our significant concerns between the proposed and final rules," end quote. So again, USDA releasing the Packers and Stockyards Act final rule on competition here this week. All right, we're out of time on today's AOA, brought to you by Senex. Not all grease is created equal. Senex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Senex.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, I'm going to spend time at Stonex's Ag and Dairy Outlook. We're going to talk markets, fertilizer, and more on the next AOA. That's going to do it for the show today. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
We are the nation's largest integrated healthcare system, providing life-changing care to over 9 million veterans.
Our hands are busy, competent, skilled, healing, helping, and friendly. A place where diverse teams come together hand in hand to provide full patient-centered care. Working in state-of-the-art facilities with influential leaders in healthcare, all with a single goal in mind, to help veterans heal, recover, and get their lives back. In a place where everyone plays a part, and where your efforts are truly appreciated. A place so innovative and forward-thinking that we're rebuilding hands, and where even robots lend a hand.
Join hands with us. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov.